Good evening. So the last, I think it's been 3 months, we have been discussing various and sundry topics in Halachos of Brachos on foods. I was planning on finishing the Halachos of Brachos on foods before I went away last week, but some fellows, who actually are not here tonight, but some fellows requested one more shiur on Brachos of foods, which is called Shinui Makom. Shinui Makom is the following idea. If I make a bracha on the food, and I am in one location, and then I go out, I go elsewhere, so that bracha no longer is valid. In other words, right, even though I make a bracha, let's say, on an apple.
Right.
Here.
Yeah.
In 135 Bennett. Then I decide to go across the street and eat, continue eating my apple across the street to, I don't know, 150 Bennett, let's say.
Carry it with you.
Even if I carry it with me, even if I have in mind, again, everything is subject to debate, but we'll just, like, present the halacha and then try to take it apart. Even if I have in mind that I am going to eat more apple, right? I have it in mind. I'm making a hini mukhan and mezuman. I'm saying, like, everything. Like, all the yichudim of the shame. You can, everything the Nod Yehuda doesn't want you to say, you have in mind. Right? But even so, the fact is, I have to make a new bracha on an apple across the street. It's the same apple I ate. I'm holding the same apple. So I start over here. I have to make a new bracha when I go across the street.
So that means you have to say a brand new shot also.
So, here. Okay. So one question that we're asking, Love is asking, does that mean I have to say a Berein Nefashos? The answer is Machlokas. For Ashkenazim, we'll see that you do not have to recite a Berein Nefashos, but Sfaradim do. We'll talk about that.
Then aren't you saying a Bracha Lovatala? If you're saying...
Okay, good. So also, I remember as a kid, so... Eschatayani Mazker Yom used to watch Saturday Night Live. So... So there was something called the American Express card. You probably heard of it. The American Express card has an ad, don't leave home without us.
Yes.
Without it, right? That's like, so they had on Saturday Night Live, this is the days of like Ronald Reagan, they had the Russian Express card. And the motto of the Russian Express card was don't leave home. Right? Because you leave home, bad things will happen. Now, the halach of Shinui Makom really is don't leave home. Don't leave home in the sense of we do not want you to go anywhere. Really, you should make a bracha in one place, eat in that place. You should not be walking around, you should not be moving, don't leave home. Right? Stay. But if you did, right, and we'll talk about the scope of all these things as we go on, if you did, when do I have to make a new bracha, etc.? That's our topic tonight. Yeah, Batya.
Is that also assuming that you're not walking in the street munching?
So even if I'm walking in the street munching, if I start eating at home, right, and then I decide to walk out, even if I'm holding the same apple, I have to make a new bracha. However, okay, let us kind of go out of order just because you're asking questions. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Chelik Beis of Igros Moshe Simen Nun Zayin. I didn't print it out because it's a little bit long. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Chelik Beis Simen Nun Zayin. He talks about chewing gum. Tes Shin Aleph Vav Nun Yud Nun Gimel. Right, chewing, right? Chewing gum. So Rav Moshe says, 1 second, so what's going on over here with chewing gum? Like, people always chew as they keep on walking in the street, so that would mean that based on these rules of Shinui Makom, you have to constantly make a new brach. I started over here, I have to make a new brach when I go out. That's very unreasonable. So the basic halacha is, what Rav Moshe assumes, is that something that you're constantly eating is not subject to the rules of Shinui Makom. In other words, the rules of Shinui Makom apply when you stop eating it at some point. I stop, Rav Moshe says, for the amount of time of Toch Kedei Dibor, the amount of time to say a few words, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Right? So if I stop for that amount of time, then I have to make a new bracha. That's the basic halacha of Shinui Makom. Consequently, when the Chayei Adam says that if I'm holding an apple in my hand, so I still have to make a new bracha when I go across the street, that's because I'm not eating the apple the whole time. But if I am one of these people who's always eating the apple, okay, so then you won't have to make a new bracha. That's what Rav Moshe assumes is going on with chewing gum. Now, it's also worth noting, here, let's turn to Sif. Sif Dalet. Okay, we're going out of order. Sif Dal says, if I eat bread in one place, and then I continue eating bread in somewhere else, I don't make birchas hamazon ela b'makom hasheni. I bench in the second place. Many people have a minhag, for example, that they eat shalashudas at home, and then, I don't know, in our community we don't do this, but then, in the middle of shalashudas, you pick up and you walk to the chassidish Rebbe, and the Rebbe, at the Rebbe's tish, that's where you finish the shalashudas, no? Any of you ever partake?
No.
Or we have kiddush hopping.
Kiddush hopping?
Yeah.
Right.
You go from one to another,
sukkah hopping, kiddush hopping. So this is a case that you eat some bread, okay? We'll talk about why it says bread. We'll get there in a few minutes. I eat some bread in one place, then I go somewhere else. So I bench in the second place. Kimosh nahagu holchei drachim she'ochlim derech hiluchem v'yoshven u'mevarchim b'makom siyum achilasam. In other words, the Mechaber is telling us that Holchei Drachim, people who are walking along the roads, and they eat as they go, they sit down and they bench when they finish eating. Meaning to say, and the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Membeis, which I didn't print out also, you'll just have to trust me on this, or you can look it up after, but the Mishnah Brura basically says that the Halach of Shinui Makom means I begin eating in a defined place. But if I begin eating in a non-defined place, so then the rules of Shinui Makom don't apply. Meaning, if I begin eating at home, in the room, so then when I leave that area, I have to make a new bracha based on the rules and regulations that we'll discuss.
Isn't that a defined place?
But if I am eating as I'm going, as I'm walking around outside, so then I never started in the set place.
Oh.
So then, the halacha is that the rule of Shinui Makom does not apply. So, in terms of our chewing gum case, the chiddush of Rav Moshe by chewing gum is even if I start chewing the gum at home, still Shinui Makom doesn't apply because I'm constantly chewing it. There's never a time that I am not chewing the gum. He compares it to the bracha on tzitzis, no? The Maharam of Rutenberg writes that the minig used to be, we don't do this anymore, the minig used to be that you would make a bracha on your talis katan at home, and then you'd go to shul and put on the talis gadol, and the bracha that I made on my talis katan would work on my talis gadol. Today we do it the opposite. We only make a bracha on the talis gadol, not on the talis katan. But my Rambam of Rutenberg had the practice, I'd make a bracha on talis katan, go to shul, and that would work. How does that happen? Right? What do you mean? There's a huge interruption. I walked outside. Isn't there a Shinui Makom, I changed places, like what's going on? So Maram of Rutenberg says something to the fact of, yeah, but I make a bracha my talis katan at home, and the mitzvah never interrupts, no? I'm wearing my tzitzis the whole time. Okay, you had a comment, Evan?
What happens if you eat an apple to go? Like, you eat an apple when you leave.
Okay.
I eat an apple in shul and I walk with it. Is that the same as God?
So the halacha is like this. So the Magen Avraham has a chiddush. That holchei drachim, this idea that if I start eating in an undefined space, I can continue, and there's no shinui makom, the Magen Avraham paskins that applies. We'll get there. The Magen Avraham paskins that applies even if I start eating in a defined place, but having in mind that I'm going to leave immediately. In other words, if I'm making my... Right, I used to do this as a kid all the time, no? Parents say, we're going on a trip. Everyone should wash for hamotzi at home, right? And then we'll eat in the car. No?
You eat a bite from the bread.
Right, so you eat a bite, but so what? Shinui Makom rules, or let's say I start eating an apple at home, right? On the way out, right? So if I start it on the way out, the Magen Avraham says, that's considered like holchei drachim. Holchei drachim, again, the rule of Shinui Makom does not apply because you never began in a defined place. So also, even if I begin in a defined place, but it's on my way out, that's like it's undefined.
What would he say is a defined place?
We'll talk about that, okay?
Okay.
We'll get there.
But the concern was about the washing.
So washing and benching might be different for a whole host of reasons, but... Let's try to go in some sort of order, or else we will get confused. Or at least, maybe you'll know what's going on, but I'll get confused. So let's... Now, everything that we are discussing tonight is found in one place. It's in Psachim Daf Kuf Aleph. Now, I'm going to try to be able to talk, but this might not be easy. Okay, let's go. Mechaber tells us, Hayaocha bebayisel pasak se'uda sova halach lebayis acher. If I'm eating in one house, and then I stop my meal and I go to a different home, Osha ya'ocha ukura'o chaver ledaber imo v'yotzalo lepesach beisel. I go to the door of my house. V'chaza. Now, the Mishnah Berurah has a discussion. Does that mean I go to the door and through the door? Or what about if I'm just at the door but don't go out? Basically, we assume if you just go to the door, that's not shinoi makom. But the halacha is, if I leave the house, I'm talking to my friend, and I go outside onto the porch, or I go outside onto the street, just to shmooze for a minute, oh, v'shina mekomo, since I changed my location, sarich levarech lemafreya al mashachal v'chuzer mevarech betchila hamotzi, and then you finish the meal. In other words, sfardim hold. This is the mechaber. Sfardim hold shinui makom. If I change my location, so then my meal is over. My eating has ended. Consequently, I have to recite a bracha acharona on what I previously ate, and then a new bracha rishona on the new food, like what you suggested a few minutes ago. That is Sfaradic psak. Okay. Ashkenazim, don't assume like this. Here, if you'll look in Se'if Beis, the sixth line, the Rambam has a comment, Haga. It's right in the middle of the sixth line in Se'if Beis. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are those who disagree in everything that we have learned until now. Okay. Rak Sovrim. Sheshinui makom eino ela kehesech hadas. That shinui makom is not that the meal has ended, but shinui makom is hesech hadas. Hesech hadas means a mental lapse. No? The halacha is, if I make a bracha on food, so the bracha continues so long as I have in mind that it should continue. But if I have a mental lapse, so then the bracha evaporates. Correct? Ashkenazic Jewry accepts the approach of the Rambam. And by the way, many Sfaradim also, Halacha Lamaisa, the Ben Ishchai, follows the Rambam here, not the Mechaber. Ashkenazim certainly hold, though, that Shinui Makom, when I move my location, what that means is Hesach Hadas. That means that the Halacha assumes that you had a mental lapse. And even if I am standing up and down, and I'm spinning wooden nickels, I'm doing jumping jacks, saying, no, I had in mind, we'd say, sir, I don't care what you say. We know better. We know that because you left your location, that is the halachic equivalent of Hesach Hadas. And Hesach Hadas means, okay, you had a mental lapse. You say you didn't. Who knows better? The rabbis or you? Come on. Right? We can read your mind, right? And we're saying that you had a mental lapse, and therefore you have to make a bracha rishona, a first bracha, again, but you don't have to make a bracha achrona for Ashkenazim. Ashkenazic Jewry holds, all I do is I make a new bracha. Okay, so I start eating at 135 Bennett, go to 150 Bennett, starting my app over here, right? Ashkenazic Jewry would make a borei pri ha'etz on the app on 150 Bennett. Sfaradic Jewry would say, you know what, you have to make a Borei Nefashos on the apple, and then go across the street, and then make a Borei Priya 8. Now, how is it not a Bracha She'en Otzricha Bracha Latala? Again, you should not do this. If you did it, what's the halacha? You're right, don't do it. Now, there are certain cases of Suffolk Brachos, no? We spoke about cases like this. Food items that we're not sure what bracha to make on. What was a case of a good food item that weren't sure? What? Rice. Yeah, right. Rice is my favorite one, no? Mm-hmm. Rice. Is a rice mizonos? That's like normal Judaism. Or that's what... Right? Or rice is probably a shahakol, the Magen Avraham says. Rice is a hadama, right, we discussed. Right, so it's a suffix brachos. So sometimes if I have a case of the suffix brachos, I already made a mizonos, and think I'm going to eat a lot of food, and then there's also some rice coming, and rice is a suffix bracha, so I don't know what to do. Or, you know, or maybe the reverse case, however you orchestrate the case. So if Moshe Feinstein says in these situations there's no problem of a bracha shein tzricha, in these situations you should deliberately do a shinui makom, walk out, and then you can make a new bracha. In the case where I have a suffix, what bracha to make? Or, again, we have to be creative, and right now my mind is not working as well as it should be. But in these types of cases, if I have a suffix bracha, what I could do is just do a shinui makom, solves all of the life's problems. It's amazing. Okay, so let's just review. Sfaradim, shinui makom means everything until now has ended. You have to make a bracha achrona and a bracha rishona. Sfaradim, right? Ashkenazim, excuse me, hold. That shinui makom means I only make a new bracha rishona. There's also a debate between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim as follows. Sfaradim, the Mechaber's case is the bracha of Hamotzi. You saw that in Sif Aleph? Ashkenazim hold that Hamotzi is not subject to the rules of Shinui Makom. Ashkenazim say, here. Let's continue in the Ramah. The Ramah in Se'if Beis. Let's continue like two lines after where we were. So he says, if a person, v'dafka shelo hiniach miksas chaverim basa'uda. You see that? Mm-hmm. The only time that Shinui Makom applies is if I did not leave some friends behind. These are all rules based on that Gemara Pesachim. If I leave friends where I was, and I leave, right? So let's say you call me to shmooze, and I'm sitting around with a bunch of my buddies. You call me to shmooze outside. There's no shinui makom in that case. Because I'm still part of a group. Shinui makom means that what happened until now has ended. But if I'm part of a group, right, and we're all eating together as friends, Achronim say it has to be for friends together. If we just happen to be eating in the cafeteria, and we don't know each other or like each other, it's like, I remember in college, very often I'd end up sitting at tables with people I had absolutely no interest in talking to. I'm probably not the only one that this happened to, right? So, you know, in those situations, that's not Hiniach Miksas Chaveirim. Hiniach Miksas Chaveirim means that it has to be your friends. They say in the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky biography, they have a story about how someone called Rabbi Yaakov to come out and to discuss something with him when he was like in the middle of his, he's in the middle of a meal discussing ideas with other people. There's an important matter, someone called Rabbi Yaakov out. So Rabbi Yaakov came back, he said, oh, you should know, it's Hiniach Miksas Chaveirim, it's like a beautiful thing. So the guys thought that Rabbi Yaakov was like just like waxing poetic. He wasn't waxing poetic, he's quoting the din in the Gemara. Hiniach Miksas Chaveirim, you have friends who remain behind, so you don't have to make a new bracha. Fine. The Mishnah Berurah says that even if only one friend remains behind, that's enough not to make a new bracha. The Achronim discuss, what about if the friend who you leave behind is someone under bar or bas mitzvah? Does that count? Okay, so that's like details which we don't have to get into. Fine. Continues the Ramah. O afilu lo hiniach va'ochal dvarim shetzrichin bracha bimkomam. Afilu masherot alecho achar kach ein tzarech levarech. Wow. Says the Ramah, even if I don't leave any friends, but if I eat the type of food that requires a bracha achrona in the same location, so then shinui makom does not apply. I'm eating in 135 Bennett, and I'm eating a sandwich. The halacha is, right, when you eat bread, you're supposed to bench where you ate, no? So bread is davar, that is ta'un bracha acharona bimkoma. So therefore, even though I go out, I'm not really leaving, because I have to return to where I came from, to make my bracha achrona, no? So if I never fully left, so it's not really a shinui makom. So this is point of dispute number two between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. The Ramah says that shinui makom does not apply to all foods. Shinui makom applies only to foods that do not require a bracha achrona in the same place. But bread, certainly I'm supposed to bench where I ate. So shinui makom for Ashkenazim does not apply to bread. But the Sfaradim, the Mechaber, began by saying it does apply to bread. Good? We'll turn the Shulchan Aruch to Se'if Hei. Se'if Hei discusses what exactly is considered something that is ta'un bracha acharona bimkoma. We said bread, you have to bench. What about shivas haminim? Let's say you eat dates. Right? Let's say I eat pasta, not bread. So there are three different opinions on Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon follows the middle opinion that all grains are considered something that's that requires bracha achrona bimkoma. Fine.
Can I ask a question?
Sure,
so
please.
So going to the Rama, if you wash here and you eat bread here, then you have to come back and
I'm supposed to come
here,
back
but
here.
Then if you go across the street,
uh-oh.
Do you make
okay.
a new bracha? Because
so when it comes to bread, I do not make any new bracha when I go across the street.
And then so how are you benching?
Now, when
that?
It comes to bread, what's interesting is like this. You're asking a good question. We just said that by bread I'm supposed to bench where I began the meal. So all of these very holy Hasidic Jews who go and they begin Shalosh Shabbos at home, then they go to the Rebbe, and they bench at the Rebbe, no?
Friday night.
Friday night they do it. Or Shalosh Shabbos, I mean, it's like a big thing. You go to the Rebbe's Tish, no? So isn't that wrong? Because the idea is that you're supposed to bench where you began, and they're benching, right? You definitely
where you began as opposed to where you ate bread.
So I ate bread at home.
Right, but let's say you then eat bread across the street.
And then I eat bread across the street. So I ate bread in both places. Now which place should I bench in? So the common practice is that they bench across the street. The Ramah says that this common practice is justifiable based on yeah, that's what we saw in Sif Dalet. I can make Birchas Hamazon in the second place, in location number 2. And the reason for that is because you had in mind that you were going to location number 2. Meaning to say, Shinui Makom by bread, right, does not apply. Ashkenazim say, if I bread, I always have to return to where I came. Therefore, if I eat bread anywhere else, no bracha. No bracha Rishona. On the bread. I started eating over here. I can continue over there. No bracha. Now, if I had in mind that I'm going to continue over there, I could bench over there. But if I didn't have in mind, then I should bench over here. Right? Everyone keeps track of the here's and there's? Okay. 1 and 2. Okay.
One and two, yeah.
Not so complicated. Now, so far, we have disputes between the Mechaber and the Ramah about the scope of Shinui Makom. According to the Mechaber, the meal has ended. You have to make a bracha achrona and a bracha vishona. According to Ramah, you only have to make a new bracha vishona. The Ramah also says that it does not apply to certain types of foods. Right? Foods that ton bracha achrona bimkoma. The real question that comes up by Shinui Makom, though, are questions of what's considered a separate place. Now, this is relevant also for Kiddush B'Makom Se'uda.
No? I was going to ask about that.
The Gemara in Psachim, same daf, Kuf Aleph, begins by talking about Kiddush B'Makom Se'uda. Usually it goes a little bit quicker, but the Gemara begins by discussing Kiddush B'Makom Se'uda, and then the Gemara segues into Shinui Makom. It's the same idea. I make Kiddush, I should eat where I make. Well, what's considered the same place? There's one prominent shul in Riverdale where the rabbi makes Kiddush in shul, correct? And he sways back and forth and back and forth. And he makes Kiddush, right? And then he makes Kiddush in the sanctuary, and the Kiddush is outside in the is downstairs in the social, correct?
Correct.
A certain prominent synagogue in Riverdale. Now, right? That's absolutely fine in halacha. Okay? So anyone who says that Rabbi Avi Weiss does not keep halacha is wrong on this count. Right?
Tell that to the chief rabbi.
Huh?
Tell that to the chief rabbi.
Because the fact is, even though Kiddush b'makom se'uda, I have to make Kiddush where I eat, and I make Kiddush in the sanctuary, how could I have my Kiddush downstairs? So the answer is that we consider everything that is under the same roof to be the same makom. Let's see this inside.
Wouldn't it be also relevant by sukkahs?
Yes. It's sukkahs by leishev basukkah, and also sukkahs, kiddush b'makom seudah, and shinui makom could be disaster in sukkahs, no? If I have a detached sukkah, mm-hmm. I make kiddush, then what do? I go to wash outside, my kiddush just evaporated, no? Mm-hmm. So you have to become a yekka, you have to wash before kiddush.
Right. Oh my goodness.
Except for some don't.
Huh?
Except for some don't.
Some yekkas, I think...
Friday night we do.
Friday night you do. The Shabbos morning you don't. But the fact...
And then you have to leave the sukkah, then it gets complicated.
Then it gets very complicated. Shinui makom by sukkah is a very difficult issue. Hopefully, we'll come to some conclusions in a few minutes. Let's go on. The Ramah, the end of Sif Aleph... Right, look in Simon Reish Ayin Gimel. It's again the fourth line in Se'if Aleph. The Rama writes, look in Simon Reish Ayin Gimel. That's Kiddush Makom Seuda. Yim ha'yudaito lecho b'makom acher lo mikri shinui makom v'hu sheyiyu shnei ha'makomos b'vayis echad. If the two places are in the same home, it's not called shinui makom. Says the Mishnah Berurah, same home means tachas gag echad, under one roof. Now,
go to different apartments in the same building.
Okay, so we're gonna talk. So let's say I make a kiddush in apartment 3E. Can I go to 6Q? I don't know if it gets that high. And eat, right? Two apartments in the same building, or let's say I have a mirpeset. No,
yeah,
I have a porch.
Right.
It's not under the same roof. Do I? Right. Because there is a roof here, right? Or my sukkah. Is my sukkah under the same roof? Or not? Right? It's a different roof, because right? It doesn't make regulation, because it leaks, right? The sukkah roof. So, not really the same roof, maybe they're both under roof. So, needless to say, these issues are machlokas among poskim. Rabbi Forst, in the English language Hilchos Brachos book published by Arts Girl, and Rebbe Yashiv, who's quoted in every sefer, they assume that it's got to be under the same roof. Meaning to say that if I make Kiddush at home and I go to my mirpeset, that's called shinui makom. But under the same roof, they say, is going to be okay. And Rebbe Forst says, by the way, even if I go from my apartment to your apartment, we're under the same roof, right? That's not shinui makom. Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach, in the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chosan, Perek Nun Dalet, Note Chaf Zayin, Reb Shlomo Zalman says that, he says, one second, like, the idea of the same roof, that you're thinking you're not thinking normally, because the same roof means that a family lives in a house under a roof, so it's all mine. But I own 3E, you own 3F, right? Yeah, well, under the same roof, but it's not mine. Of course that's a shinui makom. And my mirpeset, it's not under the roof, but it's mine. So therefore, he assumes that the idea of shinui makom, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach, my inclination is that what Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying... makes a lot of sense. My inclination is that ultimately my mirpeset, it's part of my house. Now, that doesn't mean that my sukkah is part of my house. Right? If I have a detached sukkah, it might not be part of my house, no? Is my yard part of my house? I don't know. In other words, a deck, maybe, a porch, yes. A yard, not. Right? Now, where exactly we draw the lines, I don't know, and the post-game debate all these issues back and forth, but, yeah.
Would it be a bracha
So they assume that if I, what, the merpeset is a shinui makom, according to them, right? So therefore, I should make a brach achrona first and then go out to the merpeset to eat.
But if it's not a shinui makom, like you're going to a different apartment.
So they assume that that's not a shinui makom.
So then, shouldn't.
Then I should not make it, right? So this is really where you get caught. Like, because if you assume like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it is a shinui makom to someone else's apartment, no? Mm-hmm. Now, again, I'm not exactly up on the nature of meals in the Heights, but it seems to me that's not a good idea to begin a meal in one apartment and try to continue somewhere else, like, or to make kiddush and then have hamotzi somewhere else, certainly. The kiddush makom suda issue is even more serious in some ways than the regular shinui makom. I think you should make kiddush and have the meal in the same apartment, if possible. I happen to be nervous about the shinui makom issue from one apartment to another. Yeah.
Does the Erev enter the picture at all?
Does the Erev enter the picture? Okay. So we're all surrounded by the same walls. So there is a discussion in the Gemara that mitzad te'ina zeh, tzad te'ina acher. From the side of this te'ina is like a fig tree, to the side of that fig tree, that is shinui makom. Now, that's only shinui makom if you can't see from one side of the, if it's like a very thick trunk, and I can't see from this side to the other side, that's called shinui makom. The Mishnah Berurah writes, in Sifkat N'chaf Hei, did I print it up? No. Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat N'chaf Hei, that it's only shinui makom if the te'ina is not surrounded by a fence. But let's say I have a bunch of trees, and they are surrounded by a fence. So then,
sorry to bother you. I need your key one second. Thank you.
If I have a bunch of trees that are surrounded by a fence, so that means that that fence unites all of those trees together. And they're all like one makom. Now, the question is, so then, does an Erev make it like it's all one makom? Now, halachically, we do say this in some... Remember, as a kid, I was like... It was right after my bar mitzvah. So we went to spend Pesach with cousins in Toronto. And as luck of the draw has it, so our suitcases, my parents' suitcases and my suitcase, ended up not in Toronto. And it's Erev Pesach, we landed in Toronto, we don't have our suitcases. So we're on the phone with the airline, and the airline is saying, well, they'll deliver the suitcases, they know where it went to Chfei Nishtvas, and they would deliver it when they get it. So, like, I'm like some yeshiva guy, like, learned a little bit, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like a real serious problem, because, like, it's coming from outside of the Tchum, right? Wherever it landed was outside the Tchum of Toronto, and now it's going to be inside the Tchum, So what's the story? So I was like very nervous. So I called the Rabbi Kirshner. He was the rabbi of Clanton Park. And so he said that since there's a Toronto Erev, so the entire Toronto is considered like one makom. It's all like one place. And the halacha is that if items come outside the tchum, you're allowed to use those items within one defined area. Once it ends up in one building, you could wear the suit in the entire building, right? If the Erev is valid, so the entire city is like four amos for purposes of Truman. When we say that here also, that the entire city, because of the Erev, so there's no shinui makom anywhere in the Heights, that would be radical. So they quote that Rebbe Yashiv said an idea that the fence around the trees only helps, because that makes the trees like one unit of trees. Instead of each tree being on its own, now it's like an orchard. Right? So it creates a unit. But the Erev doesn't really make my apartment serve the same purpose that your apartment serves. My apartment serves me, your apartment serves you. Right? Just because I have a fence around the whole city doesn't mean that everything is the same. By the trees, they're all pretty much the same tree. No? So then the fence around it makes it all the same. That's Rebbe Yosha's argument. Again, it's something to... It's something to think about. But the real issue that comes up is, do we assume that the roof is an essential quality of Shinui Makom? Right? When the Mishnah Berurah says anything that's tachas gagacher, now the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halach has a very lengthy discussion how he gets to this point. You see, there are two different girsaos in the Gemara. One girsa, one text in the Gemara says that there is Shinui Makom mi makom le makom. The other text says mi cheder le cheder. The Mishnah Berurah makes a very big deal. He says that those who assume that mi makom, those who have the text mi makom le makom, he's assuming are consciously rejecting the text of mi cheder le cheder. That's a point to think about. It's a methodological point in terms of learning Gemara. When you encounter two different texts, do you assume that each text is consciously rejecting the other based on the logical reason? Or do I just assume that, as luck of the draw had it, there are two different texts? Remember, one year the Orthodox Forum, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, addressed this briefly. The Mishnah Berurah over here, interestingly, is assuming that the two texts are conceptually disagreeing. The text that holds mi makom le makom is rejecting mi cheder le cheder, saying from one room to another room, that's not shinui makom because we're all under the same roof. Even though my two rooms serve two different purposes, no? My kitchen does different stuff than my bedroom does. Right? And then one could go so far as say my apartment and your apartment is under the same roof. That's also cheder le cheder. So that was another point that was worth focusing on. Okay, so what have we covered so far in Shinui Makom? Leaving the room, right? So we generally assume that if it's under the same roof, it's not Shinui Makom, but in this one instance, some poskim say that's when Das matters. Usually we said it doesn't matter. If I go from 135 Bennett to 150 Bennett across the street, Das doesn't matter. Having in mind doesn't mitigate the problem of Shinui Makom. But in the case that we are all in the same, under the same roof, so then Das does matter. Certainly if it's the same roof with the same owner. So again, what they do in, you know, in HIR, they make Kiddush in the sanctuary and they make the meal downstairs. That's perfectly fine. That's not a Shinui Makom problem because it's under the same roof. It's under the same ownership. I assume you don't have different people owning the downstairs and the upstairs, right? So that should be okay. I'm beginning to lose my voice. Are there any other questions that people feel that we should discuss that we haven't gotten to? Yeah.
This is a very basic question. Why should I have to make a new bracha just because I moved place in the first place?
So the Mechaber's approach is that brachos are all limited, no? I'm not going to say, for example, the reductio ad absurdum, that I make one bracha now and it lasts forever. That we don't do. Brachos are limited in time. Brachos are also limited in place. Once I move out of a location, so that means that the original bracha has evaporated, right? And I have to finish the meal. The meal has ended, and make a new bracha to begin a new meal. That's Sfaradi approach. The Ashkenazi approach is that we assume that there's an element of Hesach Hadas. By walking outside, that means that I lost my mental train of thought. Even though I say I didn't, we know better. That's what Acharonim assume. I don't know if I just answered your question.
It does. And then my only other question is, why do my friends keep my train of thought?
Why do your friends?
Like my friends being Kovea the Suda keep my train of thought.
So that means because you're part of their group. If it's Hiniach Mixas Chaverim, I never really left.
What if they're done eating, but they're just kind of saying they haven't benched yet?
So the Acharonim assume that even if they're done eating, if it's a situation that they would still eat if they'd bring them a good dessert, so they're not done eating. Right? That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara speaks about Shmuel, that if they drink him partridge, apparently Shmuel loved eating partridge. They bring him partridge, he would always eat more. So that means that the meal hasn't ended. The meal hasn't ended, so it's always a continuation. Okay.
First, I want to find out if this is true. I was told that the Mishnah Berurah says that if you, let's say you're having a Kiddush in Shul, and you make Kiddush, and then you eat enough mezonot, then when you go home, you do not have to make Kiddush Makom Seudah.
Okay, so that's a different issue. So the Mishnah Berurah does assume that way. The Mishnah Berurah holds that Kiddush Makom Seudah means... There's a big machlokes in Gaonim. Kiddush Makom Seudah, does it require a meal of bread? Does it require just mizonos? Does it require only wine? Those are three opinions among Gaonim. Generally, we assume that bread is the preferred way for a Seudah, but b'diyavad you yotzei just with mizonos, or even just with wine. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, once you're Yotze, you don't have to make Kiddush again. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that you should make Kiddush again, even if you were Yotze. Let's say every Shabbos when we have a Kiddush in Shul. So I make Kiddush, and I'm Yotze Kiddush Makom Seudah by eating some kichol and drinking some wine and having whatever mizonos food
because
there is.
Because you've changed places.
I'm Yotze Kiddush Makom Seudah. No, it's in the same place. I make Kiddush in the social hall, and I eat in the social hall. Kiddush Makom Seudah is Yotze.
Oh, so
then
see.
I go back home to eat lunch.
Right.
Do I have to make Kiddush again at lunch? Right. So the Rav used to say that you should make Kiddush again at lunch.
Right.
He felt that the only reason why we eat at a Kiddush, he felt that may Ikar HaDin, Kiddush Makom Seudah really requires bread. We eat at a Kiddush because we're so mech on the sheet of the Ravid that the only time there's a prohibition of eating before Kiddush is Friday night. But Shabbos day, there's no prohibition of eating before Kiddush.
So that means...
This is why, by the way, I am not a fan. There are some shuls now that have Friday night Kiddushes. It's becoming a popular thing. No? I don't like it. Because I think Friday night... The Ravid holds... Let's say it completely. The Ravid holds that only Friday night is there a prohibition to eat before Kiddush. Shabbos day, there's no prohibition at all to eat before Kiddush. So therefore, I'm not Yotze Kiddush Makom Seudah. It doesn't matter. Right? So I'm eating before Kiddush. That's a big deal. No problem to eat before Kiddush. Shabbos day, according to the Ravid.
So,
right? That's
as
what
long
the Rav used to say.
As long as you make Kiddush, you can't just sit down and have a piece of cake before
Shabbos. So, I mean, most assume that you can. Rav Soloveitchik was, Rav Soloveitchik had a different take on Judaism, with this respect. The Rav felt that you're allowed to do that only because there are some positions who hold that you don't need Kiddush at all Shabbos morning before you eat. But so consequently, right, in deference to those opinions that you do need Kiddush before the real meal, so you should make a second Kiddush before
isn't that,
the real meal.
Isn't that because of Shinei Makom?
No, it's not because of Shinei Makom.
But isn't that having it both ways? Like, why
yes.
should you be allowed to make two Kiddushes and...
So the Rav, yeah, it's cheating a little bit. Yeah, I agree with. It's not based on Shinei Makom at all.
How is it not based on Shinei Makom?
In other words, Shinei Makom is just a question, do I have to make a new bracha when I begin my lunch meal?
Right.
Okay, so that's the Shinei Makom conversation of Ashkenazim. Yes, you have to make a new bracha, Shinei Makom. But did I fulfill my Kiddush already? Is a related question, but not exactly the same.
Well, you have, but the thing is, you're changing places. You're not under the same roof.
Okay.
So then
but
it's
if I was Yotze Kiddush, so I'm Yotze. Right? It's only the Rav just felt that I should make Kiddush again when I go home because maybe I wasn't Yotze Kiddush and I still ate before Kiddush, but that's not such a problem because of that Ravid. That's what the Rav used to say.
So he's told like the Gemara.
Is the problem eating before Kiddush or eating before davening?
So there's a separate problem of eating before davening. Okay. Eating before davening is a problem... The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Dalet says, "Osi hishlachta achri gevecha." That's a gaiva. It's considered chori. But if a person's not feeling well, so they could eat before davening.
But then you say that
there's only gaiva if I eat to fill myself up, or if I eat like sugary stuff. But if I eat because I can't daven properly without it, the Rambam says.
Didn't you say
okay.
that there are certain things that you could have to drink before?
I mean, I drink coffee every morning before davening because I don't daven without
right.
coffee.
And what's his face? The
Besides Yom Kippur and stuff.
The Aruch HaShulchan says you can even have put sugar in it.
The Aruch HaShulchan says I could have orange juice, I could have soda. The Aruch HaShulchan has a very broad definition of
coffee. Because it's not going to disturb your davening.
And no Hanami. But normally we don't follow the Aruch HaShulchan.
Now, the issue is Hesach Hadah. Suppose I'm sitting at a meal and I get a phone call on my cell phone.
Yeah, so Hesach Hadas is a very amorphous thing. It's very hard to understand exactly what Hesach Hadas is. Tosfos is already bothered by the Kasha, no? How come if I talk between my tefillin shayyan and my tefillin shorosh, I have to make a new bracha? But if I talk in the middle of the meal, I don't have to make a new bracha. Tosfos asks that question. It's a very good question. Right? The answer is not easy to understand. But right, obviously, there are different types of brachos. Obviously, Hesach Hadas plays more of a role in certain, right? By a meal, right? Talking a meal with the meal doesn't mean that the meal's over. Okay. So thank you very much for coming. There is more to say, but I don't know if I can do it now. Okay, Yashikawa, thank you very much for coming. Next week, I'd like to begin topics of other brachos, if people are okay with that. In other words, I want to speak about Birchas HaReyach. What bracha do you make on...
rainbows?
We could talk. Yeah, we'll talk about rainbows. We'll talk about the Thunder. Mediterranean. We'll talk about seeing great physics professors. We'll talk about all of these types of cool brachos. That'll take us a few weeks. And we'll see where we go afterwards. Okay, so, thank you for coming.
What was the...